Log Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of A Novel Beginning. Thank you for joining us if you're on your drive home or just hanging out or whatever it may be. Who knows? I am your host, C.R. Rice, and my wonderful co-host is the incredible Danielle M. Orsino, and we are here to spill all of the nitty-gritty details of what it's like to actually be an author, as the author and as the person that is struggling and fighting through all of it. So today we are going to share some fun stories about getting the author support, the actual true author support, and the fun little tricks along the way, whether we got tricked ourselves or have found ways to figure out what is actually support and what is just secretly breaking you down. So I'm going to bring the amazing Dani in to share her first, let's go with positive experience with other authors.
Okay. Hi. Let's see. I'm trying. Wow, I have to really go back on that one. I think it was with you, I would say. Like, first kind of positive support in that sense of, oh, I'm another author and I'm going to give you, like, this little tidbit kind of thing. Yeah, I think it was with you because up to that point, I really hadn't engaged with a lot of other authors. You know, being an author is pretty solitary. I think we can both kind of agree on that. It's not, you know, I didn't really know of writers groups. Like, I know other authors are like, oh, I'm part of a writers group. I didn't even know those existed, to be perfectly honest. But I think it was really with you and speaking and knowing that I could bounce an idea off and it was okay. I didn't have to worry about it being ridiculed or I wasn't worried too much about anybody stealing anything. I think because I was still like, why would you want to steal it, you know? I didn't think my idea was really good enough for anybody to steal. But, you know, I was more worried about criticism because I had been critiqued so badly. So I think the first time we really had that discussion of, I'm working on this, what are you working on kind of thing, and we bounced ideas off, that was my first, like, oh, she's cool to talk to. Okay, and you're going to help. And I think when you gave me the pro writing aid tip, that was my first.
Oh,
like,
yeah. You were the first person that I shared my fun little thing with. Yes.
Yeah. The pro writing aid. And I was like, what is this software thing that you're talking about? What is this pro writing aid? And then I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Okay. This is really helpful. All right. You know, let me go explore this. So I think that was my first, like, she's not here to judge me. Because up to that, I had been helping, you know, when I did come across, and I don't know if it was so much other authors, but people who were just like, I kind of want to write. I haven't written anything, but I'm thinking about writing. I had helped. But coming up against someone else who was in my shoes, no, I hadn't really met anybody up to that point. So I think really sitting with you and talking was like the first positive experience, because before that it was not good. How about you?
I got to say, I'm trying to think of the most positive and not kind of mean thing. I kind of fell backwards. Yeah, I would say the most positive interaction I had, I would say, you know, as cliche as it is, I would say you too, because initially, before I met you, I had spoken with a bunch of different authors. I'm the complete opposite. I am super paranoid. I'm going to assume people are going to take stuff anyways. And even being published, people are still going to, you know, spin ideas, whatever it may be. But mine was, I went through, and like you said, being an author is very solitary. You don't get this help that you see in the old school movies where you see the really cool author is sitting in an awesome cabin and they have the editors like, chasing them down. There's no such thing. That's not what it is. So for me, it was people would reach out and be like, you know, hey, let me give you some insight on what you should do in this book or in this scene or whatever it was. And at first I was like, oh, they clearly know what they're doing. But I'm also that person where if I find out you tricked me, like I get super angry and a little bit petty. So when I had found out that the editor at the time wasn't an actual qualified editor. Now, let me explain. There's technically no qualification to be an editor. All you have to do is know basic grammar. I thought there was like a school program or something. I don't know, because people go to school to be authors, which is great. If you somebody listening is doing that, good for you. That's awesome. But I thought editors knew what they were doing. Does that make sense? Like, I assumed they
some
went to classes
do.
And they had to know. And all. So that was kind of, you know, the whole saying, like, you don't assume anything. But the way that she was explaining things to me, I took it as she was helping me. And the whole time it wasn't, is she was trying to turn my book into something else that completely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then when we started talking, because that was, let's see, a year, I think, after I published, and we started working together and talking, and you were like, Chelsea, no, you don't have to do that. Like, why did you let them do that? And I was like, no, don't worry, I fixed it. And you were like, yeah, but you shouldn't have even done it the first time. And I'm like, okay, well, now I know that. But it was the same thing with, I actually felt comfortable sharing ideas with you because I knew you weren't going to try to take it. Whereas, and I know that sounds paranoid, guys, but there are so many times that you will talk to authors, especially ones that you don't know, which is why we have told you to be careful of those author groups. Because if you share an idea, anybody can take it. If you share your book that is not copywritten, somebody can take that book and copyright it, and it is theirs. It's not yours. So,
and that's a problem on Amazon right now.
Oh, yeah. It's so bad. And so I don't share anything with anybody. Even my editors, they have a special little contract that's like, if I see you in the next 10 years and I will find your pen names that has anything to do with any of this, like, I'm going to have a problem. So.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because it's mine. I know that's ridiculous, and I'm not even an only child,
no.
So I shouldn't even have that issue. But it's, you know, you put all this hard work into it, and people just take it. And so the first couple authors I met through the publishing house would ask me ideas about different books, and I'd be like, oh, no, I don't got any ideas, because I was so paranoid, because you read those horror stories about people joining those Facebook groups. And share, you know, people asking to read their books and everything. And then the next thing you know, 2 weeks later, 2 months later, whatever it is, your book is not your book anymore. The names are changed, maybe a few key events, but they took it. And I'm pretty sure we have.
And they just have to move the needle a little bit. They just have to make a little change. And you can't do anything. It's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be really, really careful.
Yes. Sharing is rough. I do not share anything except for with you. You're the only person that knows any idea of what is going on in the realm, what will go on with the realm. And I don't know if I could, I'm not trustworthy enough, or I'm trustworthy. I don't trust people enough to give them that opportunity.
It's funny because, like, you and I go back and forth on ideas. I have a great developmental editor who is also an author, and I guess I don't count him as – I don't count Cleet, like, when we're talking about authors, because Cleet to me is a New York Times bestselling. Like, he's so beyond anything that I could think of. Like, Cleet is just Yoda, that I don't put him on the same level. When I'm like, yeah, I was talking to an author. It's like, there's Cleet, and he's just Yoda. That when I first met him, I had gone through so many horrible – scams and things like that, that when I finally met Cleet, who all my books go to him, like in their roughest state, I send them to Cleet and I'm like, what do you think? And he does developmental editing with me. He's just like, I don't know what the heck you're thinking, or yes, you're on to something, go with this. He's like my guru in that sense. When I finally met him, I just bowed down and was like, you're the greatest thing ever, because he took me by the hand and was like, okay, this is a plot hole. Do you understand what a plot hole is, Danny? Let's discuss this. But here, you got it. You know, like, he kind of set me up through it, and to this day, I will send anybody to him, but then I'm like, oh, but he's mine. Like, you can't have him completely. Cleet Barrett-Smith, I love him and I adore him. He kind of guided me through. But before him, I met so many people that were like, scam and a half.
Oh, yeah.
I shared stuff to the point where I had somebody who was like, I'm totally going to invest in you, and we're going to have our own publishing house, and oh, my God. You know, he was a high-paid lawyer. in entertainment. He worked for a certain comic book.
No, he used
universe.
To.
Yeah, company. No, this is somebody else. Comic
oh,
book
okay.
company. Begins with an M. And what I noticed was he would call me at a certain time. Every Monday.
Oh, no, you were like, you were like his,
when
his little writer mistress.
I was his nerd mistress, which I didn't know, when a certain what-if meeting would be happening. And he would text me. First, he would call me and be like, you at work? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you're in between clients because it's personal training at the time. I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay. And he'd start texting me questions, nerd questions. And he would be like, if a certain arachnid superhero could meet any other superhero, who would it be and why? And I'd answer him like an idiot because I'm thinking he's just, you know. And
but see, that's one of the things that
–
I think that's one of the things that is –
I had no idea.
As an author and as a creative person or even as a fan of anything, I think that's one of the problems is you get so invested. And when somebody wants to talk to you about your book or about your writing or what's going to happen,
you
get so into it. And that was one of the first reasons when I don't know if it was my third or fourth book came out, and I was going through the whole process and I was doing these interviews. And Corey would be working in the room next door to me, and he would hear the questions because a lot of them, you know, as authors, you hear a lot of us on podcasts and stuff like that. And so we would go, and I'd be sitting there, and he would hear the question, and I would hear his headset hit the desk, and then his door open, and he would come running over and be like, uh-uh, don't think so. Nope, lock that down. And I was like, what? He's like, you're going way too deep. They know what you're doing.
Yes.
And he would just lean in. And like, if you look up any of my earlier interviews, you'll see that like I turn to the side and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to discuss this because I work differently than most authors. So I have so many books out in such a short amount of time that I don't know where one ends and the one that is maybe coming out or one that hasn't, you know, even been announced to be coming out begins.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get tricked like that.
Yes.
So
yep.
That's why he had to sit there. But it was the same thing. I don't even talk a lot of times about, well, now this realm is over, so I can say whatever I want to. But when you go through and even discussing, I love helping other authors work on their books, but when they ask me if I need any help, I immediately shut down. And I know that is terrible,
yeah.
And that is not what you should do, but I also don't write like other authors. And I think that's what made when we met and we started working together and
mm-hmm.
then you would ask about my writing process, you didn't freak out and try to immediately correct the way I write. You were like, oh,
no.
That's awesome. I could never do that. High five. Let me know if you have any issues. And I'd be like, okay. And then we would go on, and I would come to you and be like, hey, so I don't know what's happening before or after this, but I'm writing this random scene. Don't even know if it's going in this realm, but how do you think this should go? And it worked because I know you're never going to take it. You're not going to be able to work the same way that my brain does. So it's almost like the way I write is almost protective. Even my brain's like, no, we got this.
Yeah, we have two different – we do both write chaotically. I am not a plotter in any way. Like, I don't have an outline or anything like this. I start writing, and then it unfolds. I do research and things like that, but I handwrite everything. And then I, you know, if I want to just go to another thing, I just pick up a journal and start writing it in there. And, you know, so in that
mm-hmm.
sense, we're both chaotic, but – it's a different type of chaos that we write. It's just different. But we both have a style in the sense of we're not plotters. We don't outline it and be like, okay, here's our protagonist. Here is our antagonist. This is what will happen. We don't sit there and be like nature versus nurture. We don't do that crap. We're just like, yeah, let's see what happens.
But see, I still get to the point where I talk to some of these other authors and they'll ask me what my third protagonist was thinking of, and I'm like, wait a second, which one is that again? I'm like, wait, what do those words even mean? Like, maybe I should have gone to school. And I do, guys. Like, I actually do know what those words mean. But, like, people will go and start talking to you and ask you who this philosophy was, and I'm like, no, don't blue curtain me. Like, I literally just put that there because I wanted it. I thought it was cool. I was having a rough day. And I was like, hey, you know what? I feel like this character needs to maybe go through some stuff just so that I can make myself feel better. And then you talk to some of them, and they're, oh, I spent 6 months on my outline. I was like, I wrote three books in 6 months. Like, what are you talking about? What outline? What do you do in an outline? They're like, oh, it's 70 pages. I'm like, isn't that your book?
Yeah,
that's literally half of one of my novellas. What are you talking about? They're like, no, you gotta. What is that called? It's like a detailed plotter. Those people are crazy. They deserve serious respect.
I remember when we were in Raleigh and everybody was talking about, well, when I write my book, I did this and it follows this, you know, this current theme, and I have this running into it. And I was literally sitting there thinking, I got to get the hell out of here because, I, like I said, I called the bishops just because I hated Mr. Bishop. That was it. There was no depth to it. It was just Mr. Bishop hated my guts and I needed a foil for Aurora. And I was just like, I'm calling them the bishops, and this is how I'm getting back at that man for years of torture in Taekwondo. It was like there was no depth to it. That was it. And I remember one of the authors was just like, well, I researched this English poem, and I found this. And I was just going, they bleed blue blood because I like the giants? And I was literally like, that's because somebody had asked me, like, do they bleed blue? And they went on about the color blue. And I was literally looking at them going, I like the color blue. This was
that is
the worst. And I just wanted to run screaming. I was like, why am I even writing? Holy cow. I just called my husband up crying. I was like, I need to go back to nursing because I have no idea what I'm doing here. If you listen to all the degrees they have, and how long they've been plotting their novels, and all I did was open up a journal and be like, the Dark Fae King. And even then, I didn't get his name right because my dyslexia kicked in. I was like, get me out of here. No idea why I'm even allowed to write. Like, it got that bad. I don't know about you, but I've had those moments where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Are you kidding me? I have 10 books, Danny. I don't know at all what I'm doing. Like, and that is not sarcasm. Like, I genuinely don't know how I keep doing this. People look, that was one of the, you know, with the pop-up bookshop, everybody comes and they find out because, you know, we're doing all of this stuff and they see how much that I've done. And I'm like, oh no, I still don't know what I'm doing. I get a deadline and I'm like, crap, that's like 2 weeks away. And I put my books together like a puzzle, which sounds really confusing, but I literally sit at my computer for a couple hours a day, listen to some music, fiddle around, lay on the ground, write whatever comes to my brain. And then I throw it together in a book, and somehow it's still working. But I have no idea, and they ask me for advice, like I know what I'm doing. And I feel like that crazy person, or like a kid, this is not something I condone, but you remember doing something bad as a kid, and you show up, and you're like, no, I'm going to be super straight. My parents aren't going to know. Like, I'm definitely not doing, I never did anything illegal. I'm just going to walk in, and everybody's looking at you all funny, and you overcorrect. That's what I do every single time we are at the bookshop. That's why when they ask me about the writing and stuff, I'm like, you know what? I'm actually going to go double check inventory. Let me make sure our marketing stuff went up. I'll be back. You guys, you talk. We'll figure this out later.
Yeah.
Because
I
have no idea what I'm doing.
And I'm backing away, not making eye contact, going, they're going to figure out that I have no idea what I'm doing. Any minute
but
now,
that's a great,
these people are
that's the great thing, though,
out.
Is – you shouldn't know what you're doing. If you know, I feel like this is going to be crazy. I'm going to get so much hate for this. I feel like if you know exactly what you're doing, you're not being creative
There's
enough.
Something wrong.
Yeah, you're not being creative enough. You're not, even, you don't have to write fantasy to need that creativity. I'm working on Enigma right now. So I've done detective noir and I'm wrapping that up. And then I was just doing sci-fi. And every time I got stagnant, it was because I was overthinking it. I was trying too hard and trying to make it something ridiculous that did whatever. Right. And it doesn't work that way. As soon as everything is easy, something is wrong. Something somewhere is wrong.
I find that when I've done, like when I do my fight scenes, that comes easy because it's my body moving and I'm like, I got this. This is my way to like get it out. I'm like, cool, I could do this. It makes
I get
it
mine
easier
from anime.
For me to then sit and Right. I'm like, cool, let me move. Now I can watch it, and I got to figure out how to translate this into words. When I did Fire Ice, I had these I went to Michael's and I bought like little dragon figurines. And then I sat there with tinfoil balls and threw them at the dragons to make plasma balls. And the dragons were fighting. And I think my husband walked in. He's like, are you okay? Because I'm sitting there on the ground playing with dragon figurines. And I'm like, I'm trying to make them fight. And he's like, how are the dragons doing? I'm like, they're not doing well. I was like, because they can't move the way I want them to move. And I'm trying to figure out how to dragon fight. And he's like, okay, honey. He's like, you, babe, that's okay. And he just backed out of the room. And then I started looking at the dogs, and I'm like, would you move? I'm like, Carlos, come here. I'm like, I can move your arm. And I'm just like, this is what I'm doing. I don't know if it's right. I have no idea if anybody else who their dogs and, like, moving their arms, like, hey, this is a claw, and, like, pounding away at things. I have no idea. This is my method. But once again, when I get in front of other authors, and they're all talking about the degrees, and they've read Chaucer and this and that, and I'm looking at them going, so I read this George Perez comic book, and it gave me a lot of ideas. Or my biggest influence is Magneto. That's as deep as I go, guys. Like, I like Harley Quinn.
I mean, I think that's why finding the right author community and the – even if it's one person, like, we have each other, but even if it's just one person that you can mesh with, like, I'm telling you, Danny, next time you do a dragon fight scene, there's a game, it's called Century Age of Ashes. You can play it on a computer, really good. You literally fight dragons, you do the whole plasma thing, it'd be perfect for you to work that out on. But anything that you can go through and talk about, like, our nonsense that we do, where I come and I was like, hey, so I was watching this new anime, or I just got this new manga, whatever it is, because I go that side. Love comics too, but super into manga right now for some reason. But when you go that way and you work it all out, I can sit there and talk to you and be like, okay, Danny, so I read this, and I know you're not going to care about this, what happened, but what if I took, even though it has nothing to do with the manga, but for some reason it inspired this idea, you can track my logic behind it, even though there is no logic. And that is what is important in finding your author support or finding your creative support. Anybody, if you're drawing, which I secretly hate all of you that can draw because it's not fair, but anything like that, you don't need to be in those giant groups. You're not going to mesh with those people. Don't try to be with quote-unquote cool kids. Like, meet with the people that genuinely understand your creative spark or are able to almost adapt it to theirs, because ours is very similar. It's definitely completely opposite. Like, in a lot of ways, we are completely opposite, and you would go insane looking at my drive and all the nonsense I would do, but I also couldn't sit there and write in notebooks from beginning to end. I would die. I would probably lay on the floor and just make nonsense noise until you told me I was out of timeout. That would be my whole side of it.
Right. Yeah. I think we're on the same spectrum. We're just at opposite ends on the spectrum of how we, you know, we're in that area of how we write. It's just two opposite ends, but we're there. I think what it is when you're looking for author support, whoever it is should not be yesing you to death. Like, if you have a bad idea or it shouldn't be going that way, if you're really looking, you shouldn't have a yes man. But
no.
At the same point,
and every
like,
idea you have
ridiculing
is not great.
You. Yeah, every idea is not golden.
True.
It just isn't. But nobody should be putting you down. They should be able to talk to you and be like, you know what, that's a way to look at it, but have you ever thought about it this way? Or if they don't have anything constructive to say, then they should be able to tell you, you know what, you might want to rework that or go back and think about it this way. So you can kind of mold it a little bit and play with it. Every idea, like I said, is not going to be gold. It just isn't. But nobody should be putting you down where you don't feel safe to share your idea anymore. If that's coming across, then you're not with the right kin.
Right, but you also have to be able to take that criticism. You don't have to go with your idea. But you have to be like, if you come to me and you're like, hey, I think I should do a book about purple elephants flying upside down. I'd be like, Danny, that is awesome. That is great. How about we also add a storyline and we make it something more?
you can build on somebody's things. And if you're just like, nope, it's just going to say purple elephant flying upside down, and be like, okay, that's awesome. Love it. Support you. You don't force your ideas on somebody else, but you have to be an adult when you give criticism.
You don't go, Danny, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my life. What the heck are you even doing? What? They're still people, guys. We're still people. We're very fragile people.
Yeah. Authors,
well, I mean,
in general.
Some of us are.
You know, everybody's, we're still vulnerable because we're sharing an idea. At the end of the day, whatever you put in print, you can't take back. This is it. That's it. You don't get a do-over. Whatever you put out there,
and those typos that somehow still get through, those are going to haunt you in your sleep.
Yeah, they are. They are, especially when you're standing in front of, like your literary heroes, and they circle it. And they're like, so did you have the book edited? And you're standing there going,
that was so funny.
I know,
that was terrible. I'm sorry.
And then you're thinking about that editor, and you're going, I'm going to kill you in your sleep one day. I swear I'm getting even. Things like that come back. So you want to make sure whatever you put out, you're proud of, and you should be proud of it, because everybody wants to write a book. And we have met a million people that come up to us and go, oh my God, I still want to write a book. I have a book in me, and they never get to it. So if you're one of those people that's like, I'm actually putting pen to paper, high five, man, because you're further along than most people. And if you've actually put a book out there, then double high five.
Right.
So,
but also quality control, guys. Quality control. Make sure you have somebody that can look over. Even if it's a family member, make sure it's that, like, mean aunt or uncle or sister or brother, somebody that you know is going to be super honest to you, maybe bullied you a lot as a kid, I don't know, and then have them go through and be honest with you, because we have had so many people come up to us and say that, oh, my sister's read it, my brother read it, everybody loved it, and I read through it, and I'm like, did they not see any of these typos? Did they, you got the wrong
And
they're
not going to. We're going to be harder on it on ourselves, but at the same point, an editor's only going to catch on the first look 80% of the mistakes. Do not have that same editor look. At that point, after they give you the book, the manuscript, give it to someone else. Someone unbiased who's not read it, because your mind self-corrects. Give it to someone else.
And I am still a huge advocate for Pro Writing Aid. I'm going to get them to sponsor me, Danny. That's going to be my dream.
You actually
Pro Writing Aid is amazing.
You really should.
I should. I vote for stuff for them. I am basically their marketing person.
You are an ambassador for Pro Writing Aid. You really should. But have somebody else look at it, and then after it goes back to editing, have that person look at it again. Do not be the one to edit it, because you know the story. You're going to correct it. Your eyes are going to correct it. Don't do it. It's not it. But those are little things. So you want to kind of keep going and give yourself a little bit of grace at the same point.
Absolutely.
But
and give yourself
next
a break.
Week, we're going to be give yourself a break. That's the biggest thing. And, you know, don't be too hard on things. God knows certain typos haunt me to this day, but that's okay, cuz it's all going to get fixed. I promise. But Jeff, we're going to be back prime time next week. We are now in the prime time spot. We've come up in the world. We're
I mean, does
it
mean we made it? Is this our thing? Is this our time? Do we get like I mean, we already have a theme song. I think we get like a parade now.
I'll throw some confetti next time I see you. How's that?
Oh my God, I love it. Yeah.
That's what I'll do. So this is our spot now from now on, guys. 8 p.m. Wednesday Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, so you can pop in. And next week, I guess maybe we didn't plan this, but with the Mean Girls movie, it just happened to work out. We're going to discuss Mean Girls in the author world, because unfortunately in the publishing world, we've come across some of them. So next week, we're going to discuss our interactions, whether it's in the publishing house itself, at events, or well, however else we've come across them. We're going to discuss our interactions with it. So make sure you stop in. And, you know, if not, you can catch the archived version on Blog Talk Radio. But, you know, I think you'll want to catch the live version, and you can always catch us on Instagram at Wonder Twin Events. and see what other crazy things we have going on. But we're going to try to help you through the Mean Girl routine. Right, Chels?
Absolutely. It's what we're here for.
And that's exactly what we're here for. So make sure you guys check us out, and we will see you next week, same time, same place.
Bye, guys.